Most reggae fans can name Bob Marley or Peter Tosh, but far fewer can name the quiet revolutionary who fused jazz with Rastafari and philosophy with fire. Pablo Moses didn't shout his message. He sculpted it, layer by layer, into some of the most radical music the reggae world ever heard. With a voice that defied commercial appeal and arrangements that bent genre rules, Moses challenged listeners to think, to rise, and to fight, not with fists, but with knowledge. He was a man of contradictions, soft-spoken but militant, mystical but grounded, a singer who sounded more like a philosopher than a performer. His debut album, Revolutionary Dream, wasn't just music. It was a blueprint for resistance. But why did his genius remain largely underground? And how did this musical prophet navigate the violent CIA-infiltrated Jamaica of the 1970s without becoming another martyr? So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Dreamer with Fire in His Mind. When young Pablo Moses, born Pablito Henry in Manchester Parish, Jamaica, first touched the piano at a local church, it wasn't prophecy that struck him. It was discipline. Raised in a modest, spiritually grounded household, Pablo's early life wasn't soaked in the street politics or ganja clouds that would define so much of 1970s Jamaica. Instead, it was shaped by literature, rhythm, and self-examination. He wasn't the ghetto youth with a gun tucked in his belt. He was the quiet observer, the one reading, listening, absorbing. After enrolling at the Jamaica School of Music, Moses honed his classical chops alongside jazz studies, all while immersing himself in Rastafarian teachings and the works of Marcus Garvey and Haile Selassie. He wasn't drawn to reggae as a style. He was drawn to it as a weapon, not a commercial product, but a spiritual instrument. By the time he wrote the title track for his debut album, Revolutionary Dream, Jamaica was already convulsing with unrest. The People's National Party, under Michael Manley, was promising democratic socialism. The CIA and local elites were busy undermining that dream. Young men were dying in the car street of Kingston. Guns were flooding the island. And the music industry, already politically polarized, was being weaponized. But Pablo Moses wasn't interested in dancing around those truths. He entered the scene not with a hit single, but with a concept album, Revolutionary Dream, 1975, crafted with producer Jeffrey Chung. The LP blended militant lyrics with lush jazz-inflected arrangements and analog synths that hinted at psychedelia. This wasn't rebel music for the dancehall, it was rebel music for the mind. The track I Man a Grasshopper painted the singer as a biblical insect, small and insignificant, yet all-seeing. It was a parable in roots reggae form, a song that dared listeners to see humility not as weakness, but as power. We should be in Angola, echoed the global black struggle. A line in Jamaica's ghetto youth with liberation fighters in southern Africa. What made Pablo's approach so distinct was his delivery, nasal, philosophical, restrained. In an era where most reggae artists leaned on raw emotion or righteous anger, Pablo Moses sounded like a monk broadcasting from the center of a storm. His words were measured, deliberate, like scripture set to rhythm. He was a revolutionary, but not of the gunman variety. He was the educator, the mystic, the conjurer of deep truths buried beneath Babylon's noise. Still, his music didn't explode into the mainstream. It simmered in the background, passed hand to hand among musicians and radicals. Critics praised him, scholars admired him, but the streets, those hungry for easy hooks and heavy bass lines, were slower to embrace him. That never deterred Moses. He didn't want fame. He wanted impact. By the late 1970s, while Bob Marley filled stadiums and Peter Tosh faced state surveillance, Pablo Moses remained a kind of secret weapon, invited into intellectual circles, quietly influencing generations of artists and thinkers. His next albums, A Song and Paved the Way, built upon his initial themes, introducing even more layered musicality as the world shifted into the 1980s. With reggae becoming increasingly commodified, Pablo Moses refused to play along. His focus remained unwavering. Elevate consciousness, not ego. He saw what fame did to others. It diluted their purpose. He preferred the shadows, where the message was still pure. But what happens when a revolutionary dream doesn't sell? What happens to an artist whose truth is too deep, too abstract, too unsettling for the market? That's where the second chapter of his story unfolds. Not on the charts, but in the quiet global rebellion he inspired. Chapter 2, The Silent General of Global Consciousness. By the time the 1990s dawned, the world was changing fast. The Berlin Wall had fallen. The Cold War was ending. In Jamaica, dancehall was rising. Digital rhythms replaced the organic sound of roots reggae, and spirituality gave way to swagger. But Pablo Moses refused to disappear. Instead, he evolved. His music in the 1990s, including albums like We Refuse and The Confession of a Rastaman, leaned even more into jazz and fusion. These weren't records built for radio. They were records made for reflection. Lyrically, Moses stayed rooted in resistance. Songs about environmental destruction, Western hypocrisy, and the decay of moral integrity. Yet again, the mainstream looked away. But the world underground, students, activists, cultural scholars tuned in. Pablo Moses began appearing on the syllabi of university courses. His music was dissected in academic journals. Lecturers quoted him in classrooms from Nairobi to New York. In South Africa, liberation fighters who had smuggled reggae cassettes into prison cells during apartheid cited him as a quiet influence. He had become a global elder, his reach not measured in sales, but in awakening. Then in 2017, at nearly 65 years old, Pablo Moses returned with The Itinuation, an album titled playing on both Continuation and I&I, a Rasta affirmation of self and divinity. Produced by Harrison Stafford, the album fused the crispness of modern production with the warmth of analog roots. And once again, his lyrics pierced Babylon's veil. Tracks like Attitude and The People's Mind were not nostalgic. They were urgent. They weren't about a past revolution. They were about a present betrayal. The world was spiraling, climate collapse, racial injustice, state violence. And Pablo was still here, still preaching, still dreaming, still resisting. He sang not with bitterness, but with the clarity of a man who had seen the game from all angles. And this time, more people were listening. The digital age, for all its noise, allowed Moses' message to resurface. Interviews, documentaries, playlists. New generations discovered him, not because he was marketed to them, but because they were searching for him. Pablo Moses had become a living artifact, proof that truth, if pure, will endure even when ignored. And yet, despite his influence, he never sought headlines. He never scandalized his audience. He never sold out. He remained a man of the soil, deeply tied to Jamaican culture, yet universally human in his message. In the grand hall of reggae legends, his name is not shouted, but it is respected. Because Pablo Moses never played for applause, he played for awakening. And for those who have truly listened, his music isn't entertainment, it's scripture.